Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor program. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks again to Pastor David Boies-Claire for that lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We went through the first 16 verses. A lot of good, relevant stuff even for today. I'm reminded of that scene. I don't know, we've talked a couple of times in the past about the Simpsons movie. Yeah, I know. But they're kind of kitschy. I like them. I'm not a devoted fan, but I like them from time to time. And there's that one scene in the Simpsons movie where Grandpa Simpson is having some kind of an attack or something. He's rolling up and down the aisle of the church, and he's screaming out, "Epa, epa, epa," or whatever that may mean. And Marge Simpson turns to Homer and screams at him, "Homie, do something." So he grabs a Bible in front of him, and he starts fanning through the Bible, and he screams back at Marge, "I'm trying, but there's no answers in here." I think 1 Corinthians 7 put the lie to that one, don't you think? Joining us this morning for Ask the Pastor is the Reverend Dr. Victor Belton. Pastor Belton serves at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, where I think it's probably going to be about as hot as it is in St. Louis. Good morning. How are you?
We're doing fairly well down here, and it is pretty hot right now.
What's it going to get down? What's it going to get up to down there? I got to get my prepositions right.
Well, not quite the heat alert you've got in St. Louis. It's probably mid 90s here.
Wow. Hot is still hot. It's not comfortable, yeah. I guess.
It's warm.
So I don't know what the obvious topic for discussion today is all the business going out in Aurora.
Yes.
And I don't think we can avoid that. And I made some mention of it on Friday because I was sort of, just for whatever reason, my eyes opened about 4 o'clock, Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot on my mind, a lot of things that I had to get done that day, as well as, work and other things. And I start watching this news coverage just within a couple hours after, the shootings happened. And what frustrating about how, number one, as a people, we can't be patient enough to wait for correct information. We have to speculate on everything. And then for the local news, I mean, here in St. Louis, there was a midnight showing of Batman, The Dark Knight Rising, or whatever the film was called.
Mm-hmm.
So they went out and they found some poor guy and they made him stand around for 2 hours just so they could look at him, put a microphone in his face here in St. Louis, and say, "How do you feel about this?" And the whole thing is frustrating.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The news stations could get back to more reporting and less of trying to create the news or trying to anticipate the news and simply reporting. I mean, that's what made Walter Cronkite and the other earlier newscasters so iconic. They didn't try to make it. They actually went out and did some legwork and actually found out what was in the hearts and minds of people. And the populace loved them for it.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO@KFUO.org. The other thing about events like this that for me is personally painful is to watch all the pop theology that goes on around this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This morning, just in a little bit of preparation for this, I put 3 words into Google to do a search. God, Aurora, and shootings.
Mm.
And I came back with pages and pages of hits of people commenting in some way, shape, or form about God's involvement, non-involvement, God's arbitrary, and all these different things. And it really struck me that, we are a people that make up our theology as we go along.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It's a shame to do it, because if we just stuck with the theology that God gave in the revelation of the Holy Scriptures and through His Son Jesus Christ, that would be sufficient to fill every need. But since we don't, and the sin in us is so prevalent, we kind of tend to make it up as we go along. The character of God, the theology of who God is, the theology of how God is and why God would allow, all of those questions begin to come to the fore as if God is the only power in operation.
Well, the other thing that I noticed was when something really, really bad happens, now all of a sudden it's okay to talk about God again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But when everything's going along just fine, we'll have none of that God talk around here, mister.
Well, we'll talk about the God of our own making.
Oh, yeah.
When things are going awry. But when things are going well, we don't even want to talk about that one. There is a... The, there. If I have any propensity, and I probably have a couple, but if I have any propensity in terms of scripture, it's the propensity probably to mysticize and spiritualize occurrences, and so in my mystical theo-charismato liberal bent, I'm believing that when repetitious things happen in a region, that this word comes to the fore. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
You said evil.
That's what it is. And so what's the principality? What's the ruler? What's the authority? What's the cosmic power? What's the spiritual force of evil in the realm around Aurora and around Colorado? And I'm thinking Columbine, and I'm thinking and I'm thinking other tragedies. I'm thinking wildfires, other things happening in Colorado. It's not Sodom and Gomorrah. God's not slamming them because of their sin. It's principalities and powers and spirits of wickedness in the heavenly realm, spirits of evil in the heavenly realm. Well,
and speaking to that evil, and again, this is, maybe I'm expressing more frustration here than I probably should on the air, but having spent a lot of time percolating on this over the weekend, driving around with my kids in the back seat yesterday, trying to have a nice Sunday afternoon with the wife and the kids, and my wife and I are talking about this a little bit because the kids were asking some questions. They're 15 and 11. And I said, you know, it is horrific to think that there was a six-year-old little girl, not much younger than my youngest, who was killed in all this.
Yes.
But I said, you know, there's an abortion clinic in Aurora.
Right.
And, you know, okay, granted, the death of a six-year-old is a tragedy, but how many unborn children in the just the week prior to this shooting were killed and nobody noticed?
Yeah. See, spirits of wickedness, spirits of evil, forces of evil in the heavenly places that kind of blind us and deafen us and ruin our accurate spiritual perception of what God is saying to Aurora, to St. Louis, to Atlanta, to the nations about the sanctity of life, about how important it is. I mean, Father, everyone going to that Batman movie was going to a place where they were going to virtually see, on the screen, the thousands of people die. I mean, how does that desensitize a young man who has over the course of his life playing video games and looking at movies and television and that kind of thing over in 18 years of life? I mean, you can literally see hundreds of thousands of people put to death in one fashion or another just playing video games.
Yeah, and the whole idea is, well, you know, have you noticed that they've moderated on the video games?
Sure.
That it's not people that you shoot anymore, but it's zombies or Nazis or something like this. But it's not it's not really people. But and if they were people, they're the people that deserve to have this happen to them.
Exactly. So it's and in the mind, in the warped mind, I would imagine, of our friend in Aurora, for whatever reason, they were people like the zombies. They were people who deserved to have that happen.
You know, I'm sick to death of Satan. I really am.
Yeah. Enough of him.
I'm just done with this. I don't want to deal with this stuff anymore.
Enough of him. You know, the other thing Ephesians encourages us to do is take up the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. There is a hiding place in God where when we get tired of all of the confusion and all of the noise and all of the tempest raging about us that the enemy's causing, there is a shield of faith and a hiding place in the Lord that those of us who have faith in him, in a place in which we can take up residence by faith in him.
You know, there's a fellow who writes, you know, the occasional op-ed for the Christian Post, and his name is Greg Steer. I'm not quite sure of his background, but he seems like a fairly orthodox guy from what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of the pull quotes from the op-ed he put up today. I'm dedicating myself afresh to, and anew to destroying Satan's kingdom through intercessory prayer, recruiting lost souls from his grip, and wreaking havoc amongst his demonic minions.
And now, you know, prayer is one of our bywords.
Yeah.
We love to talk about prayer.
That's why I bring it up.
And about the power of prayer and the authority that God has given us in prayer. That would be a good thing for the folks of Aurora and Colorado to continue to do, to just be instant in prayer and to whenever they're feeling. It would be an excellent thing for the governor of Colorado to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Guys, our entire state is going to set aside a time, and not just a minute of silence. I'm talking about a day of prayer. You know, and that would be profound. That would shake up these spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Where if people would legitimately, honestly, and out of the depth of pain, cry unto the Lord.
So, what do you pray? Do you just pray, stop it, stop it, no more, can't take it?
Well, first we pray, Lord, you're good. Lord, you're good. Even in the midst of this, Lord, you're good. You're good. And so we don't know how you're going to do it, but we believe by faith that you will bring some healing and bring some blessing out of this confusion and out of this morass. Satan meant it for evil, but we believe you meant it for good. And, Lord, we're tired of the losses, and we're asking you to push the enemy back from us for a season so that we can dwell in peace and security. We know there's going to be another thing. I mean, there always is. That's life. There's going to be another thing. But God can hedge us around for a minute so that we have some breathing room and we have peace in the midst of the storm. And so those are the kinds of prayers I think the people of God can comfortably and confidently offer in this kind of time frame.
Let's go to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Randy, good morning. Join the discussion.
Good morning. Greetings from hot Atlanta.
Yes.
I share the sentiments of my dear brother, Pastor Belton, there that, before someone says, where is God in all of this, we as Christian people need to say, he didn't cause this, but he is surely responding.
Mm.
And we need to take these opportunities, these precious opportunities that we have, whether it be in our conversation or in our blogging or even in radio programs like this, to say, and how can a God of love and compassion now respond to people? Such opportunities, you know, we have to share our faith. And as people are thinking about this, these are such precious opportunities to plant seeds and to allow the Spirit to speak through us. So I commend you for bringing this up and being a response because, gentlemen, you never know who's listening in.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
And, just like with 9/11, these are opportunities where God's people need to take an open opportunity that God's Spirit would give to speak words of comfort and peace and hope. And, I think that we need to be, as Pastor Belton said, more time in prayer and calling upon people in prayer. And I just wonder if maybe that could be another resource that KFUO could grow into.
Mm.
You know, as Pastor Belton and Pastor Bira have a national couple of days of prayer at least once a year in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, if we could maybe offer up some time for people to call and have prayer as part of KFUO's programming, I just plant a seed there.
Well, Gary Duncan is listening in his office, and our new managing director, Pastor Reverend Rod Zwanitzer, is very interested in doing just exactly those sorts of things, and I will carry those comments to him.
Because, people like Pastor Belton, I'm going to put you on the hook here, have a real gift for leading others in prayer. And if perhaps maybe even pastors around our country might be invited to host a half hour or an hour, time slot, I know that creates more work, but it creates more opportunities. And people could call in and share their prayer requests, and we could pray online and on the phone and in real time. what a great blessing that would be, that our Missouri Synod people could be in prayer with and for each other and for others who are still lost.
Prayer, so, all that prayer. Don't you know we have the business of the church to get about, all that prayer? It's going to take up so much time.
That sure is so much a part of that, though, isn't it?
I think that Luther somewhere said prayer is the work.
Right.
That's the work.
That's right. Well, blessings on your day, and thank you again. And let's see how we can respond with God's love and compassion to many people who need to hear it.
And thank you, Randy. Appreciate the call.
Yep.
Well, that's a good question, Dr. Belton, that I'll throw your way.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about, you know, this faith that we have is not passive; it's an active faith, and we talk about responding to things like this. As the church, I mean, how does the gospel respond to something like? What does the gospel have to say to a nut job who walks into a theater and kills a 6-year-old and a bunch of other people at the same time?
Man, this is such a setup. You just need to know it, bro. That's a setup. Listen,
it's my job.
In Mark chapter 6, Jesus, this text yesterday, right? In our church, at least, do you use the lectionary?
We used the 3-year, but we had a special service yesterday for organisters.
Well, if you'd have been Orthodox, you would have used Mark chapter 6 like the rest of us. Good Lutherans.
Mea culpa.
At any rate, it's the feeding of the 5,000,
right?
And it is that Jesus looks up to heaven and he sees his Father who sent him as the bread to feed us with the bread of life. Jesus, who is the bread of life, sent from the Father, is looking up to heaven and breaking bread and blessing the Father and getting ready to distribute then this bread to all. But Jesus doesn't give it to the people. Jesus gives the gift that he's getting ready to give to the disciples, and the disciples then give the gift to the people. God has a response to Aurora, Colorado. God has a response to Columbine. God has a response to the fires. God has given his response to his disciples. And his disciples now are responsible to go and deliver God's message in all of those various places where the people of God are hungry and in distress. How's that?
Works for me.
We have the gift. The broken bread, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the word of God within us as a gift from God, all of us who are disciples, and shame on us if we're too busy to give away the gift that he's given us.
Well, let's not talk about too busy. Let's talk about fear, because that was primary in a number of these stories of how people are now afraid to go to the movies because of what happened.
Yeah, see, God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? Power, love, and sound mind. And so, if there is no godly response to Aurora, Colorado, it is because the people of God in Aurora, to whom God has given his gifts, are not doing the work of, as you're going, make disciples. As you're going, comfort and feed and bless and heal. I'm sorry.
Let's go back to the phones. Bill, good morning. You're on with Pastor Belton. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Bill. Dr. Belton, of course, always answers all the questions that you have before you get online.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, good morning, sir. But exactly right. Verse 37. The challenge is you give them something to eat.
You give them to eat.
Right. You feed them.
Yeah,
I am given. I am.
Oh, Bill. What I'm thinking is they're all sitting there going, "What? That's impossible. What do you mean?" Yeah,
right.
It's mind blowing to think Jesus doesn't do it himself. He gives it to his disciples.
Right, and the message is, we have the gift. We've been given the gift.
Yes.
And the challenge is, how do we pass it on?
There we are.
And it's not. And the challenge response is with the help of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
God bless. Bye.
You know, the other thing about that Lucan text from yesterday, Pastor Belton,
mm-hmm.
is that when he says, you feed them, what's their response? You know, we'd have, 200 denarii?
Yeah, they start counting pennies.
Yeah, and the other thing is that in order to earn that much money, I think, all 12 of them would have had to work for about a year.
Yes.
So this is an insurmountable, and he says you do it. This is insurmountable.
This is insurmountable. We can't. What do you mean you do it? I mean, how, what do you mean you bring comfort to the folks in Aurora? What do you mean you solve their need and their distress? What do you mean? How can we do that? Well, through the gift of the Holy Spirit and of through the unction of the word that he's given. You give them to eat. Man, that is such an important word. God wants us feeding. God wants us comforting. God wants us blessing and sustaining those who do not know.
But it's such an instinctive response to say, no.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. They're not with us. I don't know anybody in Aurora, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I don't have any friends in Aurora, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I've got enough stuff here in Decatur, Georgia to pray for.
Oh, yeah, I bet you do.
So, no. And that's just not what God would be saying. You give them to eat. You give them to eat.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. You have a few minutes before the break. If you want to get in by way of email or phone, you can certainly do so. We'll be back for another half hour with Dr. Belton after the bottom of the hour break. But one of the other things I want to do, Dr. Belton, is review some of the other theological statements that are made out there about this event from some of the different voices that are there, and see if you as a Lutheran pastor might have said something similar or the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's one here, Jim Daly, who's president of Focus on the Family. This is what he's put it as saying. What happened up in Aurora was the product of pure evil. It was the result of a depraved individual taking his free will to the extreme.
Yeah.
Can you run with that?
Well, sure. And yet, you know, charity I'm just sorry. For the Christian, charity is just a great thing. It is always there, but for the grace of God.
Hmm.
You know, that we have no idea how the enemy got in and twisted him and what kinds of other things he's dealt with his entire life that after all is said and done, no one brought bread to, and so he stayed in that hunger until he was so distraught and so distressed that he went and did that thing. Yeah, pure evil, yes. Pure evil, absolutely. But one of the things I think whenever a tragedy like this happens is that young man passed by hundreds of churches in Aurora, Colorado every week, every month, every day.
Well, I
wonder if anybody in Aurora, Colorado ever invited him into one.
Well, let's worry about his spiritual malnutrition after we punish him, okay?
Well, then you know, we have to worry about our spiritual malnutrition after then we get punished ourselves. And that's not how God deals with us. God deals with our spiritual malnutrition so that he doesn't have to punish us. And he does it in Jesus. He does it in the blood of his Son and puts our punishment upon his Son and then places his Son upon that cross. And so we have no option, no opportunity to then deal with it after we've dealt with his evil. I mean it is that for God so loved the world. And he remains the just judge and the righteous judge.
Well, the important thing to remember, and we're going to the break here in about 30 seconds, Dr. Belton, is that we are not fighting against this individual or what some individuals may do. It's the powers and principalities of darkness, as you said.
I believe that's true.
That are doing this. And if we lose sight of that, if it's merely a man-centered problem, well, man can fix his own problems, can't he?
Yeah, man keeps trying to fix his own problems. And every time we try, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't have much use for Dr. Phil, but he does have a great line. How's that working out for you?
How's that working for you?
Yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. The Reverend Dr. Victor Belton, our guest this morning. Jan, hold on the line. We'll come back to you first with a question about Luke 13:1.
At 21, Alan Babin joined the Army to serve his country. He became a combat medic because he wanted to help. One night on patrol in Iraq, his platoon came under heavy fire. His mother, Rosie, describes what happened next.
A call for a medic had gone out, and without any regard for his safety, Alan left a covered position and rushed to the young wounded and was hit himself.
Now, like many wounded veterans, Alan will require daily care for the rest of his life. Paralyzed Veterans of America has been working for over 60 years to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned from the country they proudly served.
PVA is the voice of wounded veterans. The fact that they're there and advocating on behalf of paralyzed veterans is a really good feeling.
To support Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit pva.org.
Johann Sebastian Bach once called music an agreeable harmony for the honor of God and the permissible delight of the soul. We believe the great Lutheran composer got it right. That's why we're continuing the tradition of timeless classical music and sacred classics online at classic99.com. Check us out, the greatest music in the world, streaming 24/7 on classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Start your day off right with the morning show Monday through Friday on KFUO Radio. Hi, I'm Randy Asbury. Join me as we start the day right with daily prayer, news and views from around the church, feeding the faith, and much more. The morning show, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your Lutheran radio station, AM 850 KFUO or KFUO.org.
Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney says the contraceptive coverage mandate in the federal health care law violates
religious liberty, our first freedom of those enumerated in the Bill of Rights. And the president and his administration said they are going to usurp your religious freedom by demanding that you provide products.
At a town hall meeting in Bowling Green, Ohio this week, Romney said Catholic institutions and other religious employers are
being told what they have to do that violates their religious conscience. That attack on religious freedom, I think, is a dangerous and unfortunate precedent.
Roman Catholics have been the most prominent opponents of the mandate, but Romney said,
I feel that we're all Catholic today in our battle to make sure we preserve religious liberty and tolerance and freedom in this country. It is essential for us to push back against that.
I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The picture was horrible to see. A young Chinese woman was lying on a hospital bed. Next to her was the 7-month unborn baby who'd been viciously aborted against the mother's wishes. This moving image circumvented the globe and further exposed China's brutal forced abortion one-child policy. But the baby didn't die in vain. The European Parliament has since adopted a strong resolution condemning China's forced abortions and sterilizations. Since the EU still provides funding for family planning efforts in China, they've urged the Commission to investigate and ensure these funds don't support forced abortion. But the only way to do that is pull all funding. Further, the Chinese government paid the couple $11,000 to settle a lawsuit. Please pray all Chinese women are protected.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. It's the Ask the Pastor program on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Our guest this morning is our very good friend, Dr. Victor Belton. Pastor Belton serves at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, just outside Hotlanta, as I think Randy referred to it as Hotland, didn't he, Pastor?
Yes, he did.
What makes Atlanta so hot other than the temperature?
the politics.
Okay.
Make it kind of warm. Nowadays, we have elections on July 31, and it's going to be a heated kind of time.
I imagine it will be. Hey, we're making a long-distance connection, Atlanta to Atlanta via St. Louis with Jan. Jan, good morning.
Good morning, Roland.
Good morning, Jan.
Good morning, Pastor Belton. To my mind, it's I think it's 1 John that says that sin exhibits itself in three different forms, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have implicit in the scripture that the sin, death, and the devil are the enemies that Yahweh has conquered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason I bring these up is because I'm looking at Luke 13, and it seems to point us to repentance.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, like Flip Wilson used to always say, the devil made me do it.
Mm.
Actually, we are simultaneously sinners and saints.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yes, God is good, and we are not. And we confess that it's the robe of righteousness that Jesus, by faith, covers us with.
Yes.
That makes us the new creation. And I want to, you know, I want your thoughts on this, because we have to be where we are a light.
Mm.
And I think it's Dr. Simonetta has a ministry where they are the faithful masks.
Yeah, Uwe Simonetta, yeah.
Right.
So, League of Faithful Masks.
Yeah, so we are Christ's ambassadors.
Yes.
And when we recognize that this universe is subject to frustration, but God has positioned me here,
mm-hmm,
to witness to who he is and what he's done, and extend his grace and mercy from our locations.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you elaborate? Am I kind of on the right track here? What?
Yeah, I think you've gone from meddling to preaching. I think that's certainly a right word. We are all alike, and that's the thing that suspends the judgment, not the punishment, but because the government is right to do that, but it suspends the judgment from the Christian. We are all alike sinners, and we all alike fall short of the glory of God, and we are all sent as representatives of the grace of Christ and the mercies, the abundant mercies of God for this time and place in which we live. Absolutely.
Yeah, and earlier, Roland and Pastor Boyce Claire were talking about 1 Corinthians 7, and it made me think of that passage in Malachi where he talks about God is seeking godly offspring. And in that section, he says something about God is ignoring our offerings, and it's because we haven't been faithful. So is that kind of a parallel in that 1 Peter where he says, acknowledge your wives as a weaker vessel, and so your prayers will not be hindered?
Mm. That could be. I'm very hopeful that the blood of Jesus covers to the point that as we are repentant of our sin and of our faults and failures, that is sufficient to keep Satan from being able to sew back together the curtain that was rent, the curtain that was torn, so that our prayers no longer get through, and so we don't have the vision. I pray that repentance is that powerful a gift from God, and so that as we stand in repentance and humility, there is nothing that can hinder our prayer. But standing in that place means that we do honor others as more valuable than ourselves, and certainly honor the weaker vessels, and certainly do those other grace works, mercy works, that God has given over into our hands.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thanks, sure. Jan. Good to hear from you this morning.
Yes, great.
Let's continue with our phone callers. Go to Linda. Linda, good morning. You're up next with Pastor Belton.
Hi, Brother Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I am fine. I'm enjoying the lesson.
Amen.
I was just thinking how sin, I'm not just talking about the devil, I'm talking about sin is very real. And it presents itself in evil.
Yes.
Of all degrees, of the worst degree and the least degree, but it presents itself in evil. And I know sin is real, but Jesus is more real than anything we can ever see or touch.
Yes.
And if he dwells in our heart, he presents himself as faith and repentance and love, joy, gentleness, all of those fruit we need. And then his blood is the remedy for our sin. He's our armor. He's the weapons of our warfare against ourselves. And, you know, Satan. Satan has made a big mockery out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a song KFU used to play, and I keep hearing it the last few days. Sometimes he makes his presence known so often in his absence. And, you know, he is so real. He's there. But when people reject him, or, you know, you really see, like Jim was talking about, the light when there's so much darkness. You really see his presence. You feel his presence.
Yes.
We can only feel it with our hearts. We can only feel it with our soul. We can only hear with our soul. We can't touch him or see him, but he is more real than anything that we can touch or see. And as we, you know, that Great Commission is for us. We're told to teach. We can pray, and there's a lot of prayers out there that aren't in the name of Jesus Christ these days, but that commission to teach, that's for all of us, and we have this wonderful news about evil and about sin that people are hungry for, and he is the bread of life, and he is the well of living water. So, well, God bless you.
Thank you, Linda.
Very well spoken, Linda. Thank you.
505-7850-1800-730-2727 and, of course, KFUO at KFUO.org. Here's a couple of the other quotes, and again, just sort of along the lines of what you make of these, because there's so much pop theology, as I said when the program began, around this event. You know, everybody has an opinion about God. I think the old saying goes, opinions are like elbows. Everybody has at least two of them.
Yes.
Unless it comes to God, then you've got a whole bag full of them. Here is former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. This is what he said on his program the other night. We don't have a crime problem, a gun problem, or even a violence problem. What we have is a sin problem.
Mm.
And we've ordered God out of our schools, out of our communities, the military, and public conversations. You know, you really shouldn't be so surprised when all hell breaks loose.
Well, I'm afraid that's probably true. When we tell, this is, can I say this on the radio? When we tell God to go to hell, God says, okay, you first. but not so much, because Jesus then goes and with the keys then locks that gate. We cannot live well without the unction of the Holy Spirit and without the grace of God in our lives. I wonder if anyone's teaching this anymore. The 2 Corinthians 10:3, that and 3-5. It's though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. And to pick up a gun, to pick up a knife, to kill somebody, that's waging war as the world does it. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, demolish arguments. Every pretension sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Linda and others, Jan and Randy, talking about the people of God, having these gifts of God and this grace of God to do warfare with the enemy and to combat the enemy with the Word of God. But in order to do that, we actually have to study to show ourselves approved, so that we have that Word in us and among us, and so it comes forth as a weapon against the sin that would so easily entangle.
There was a bit of a controversy that came up also. Rick Warren from Saddleback Church weighed in on this. And the controversy isn't so much about what he said when he tweeted out a message as it is that he deleted it shortly after the controversy rose up about it.
Mm.
He said, when students are taught they are no different from animals, they act like it.
Wow.
But then once that got around and people started complaining about it, he deleted the tweet.
Yeah, you know, it's a diamond thrown will wound as deeply as a common rock.
Oh yeah,
that makes sense. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It can be true and it can be valuable, but if you're careless with it and don't wield it well, it will wound. And so and we are, and that's just not what Jesus wanted us to do.
Hmm.
I mean, to confront sin, absolutely. To speak words of law and gospel, absolutely. But not in a careless way that kind of puts boundaries up for people, but in a careful way that makes people want to engage with a God who's so gracious that he forgives them despite their sin.
You know, and rather than look at perhaps the cause and effect relationship that Warren may have been referring to, sort of these avid secularists and the atheists, as the article calls it here from the Christian Post, were upset that he was condemning evolution.
To Genesis 1-3 is just going to remain one of the hot spots for debate throughout the ages. Because if the enemy can lead us in our human wisdom to knock God out of the creation business from the foundation of the world, then the battle is won. If God didn't set it all in order, and if there's only some accidental big bang that happened, then God is pretty much immaterial.
What is the point of getting in the aftermath of a tragedy like this? What is the point in getting together for some kind of a remembrance service or a prayer vigil or whatever you may want to call it, if you never define to whom you're praying?
Yes, God is. I just pray that God is so gracious that and again, it's our sin and it's the covering of the blood of Jesus. Everyone who gathers may not well understand, but I'm asking God. I believe there's always a remnant in the group. There's always there are always some faithful in the assembly, and God always hears the prayers of his faithful people, and so those faithful in that assembly can intercede on behalf of the entire nation, the entire community, those faithful.
Well, they had a, I'm not even sure what they called it, if it was a prayer vigil or if it was a service of remembrance, even if they call it a service, but there was a group, you know, 1,000 or so people gathered in Aurora last night to do whatever. I mean, they had candles, they had flowers, flags, Bibles, they had all the things that people might bring to one of these events. And here are some of the things that were said by just people in the crowd. And this goes to, you know, how we sort of make up God as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
Though we have never met, my family grieves deeply with yours and prays for all of our healing. Now, what's interesting is if anyone ever says, I'll be praying for you,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
if you want to have some fun, stop them right there and say, can we pray right now?
Yeah. There we are. Unless you actually want to pray right now, which is what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the thing. But what does that mean? All the news media over the weekend, our thoughts and prayers
mm-hmm.
go out to the people. What prayers?
Mm-hmm.
To whom? I mean, you know, this prayer business has become a cultural thing. We just say this.
See, Roland, I tell you what. I understand our theology about being in heterodox gatherings and being in unionistic gatherings. I mean, we cannot appear to agree with folks of mixed confessions, and we cannot appear to support an anything goes kind of pop theological statement. And yet at the same time, when these generic words are being thrown out with no context and with no Christ, I mean, how important is it that there is a confessional Lutheran presence in right. the midst of that says his name is Jesus? His name is Jesus. I'm in a setting one afternoon with a bunch of guys from another denomination very close to ours. And they're talking actually about being in a sweat lodge. Sweat lodge is up north where Native Americans kind of get together and they heat up this lodge, and it gets stifling hot and stifling warm, and so we go in and we pray, and there are visions that happen, and that kind of thing. I'm not prepared to do all the theology around the sweat lodge, but this is what I think I understand. In all of that conversation, they were talking about the things they experienced and how hot it was and how to and I'm going, guys, Jesus is our sweat lodge. I mean, he's the place where we go to hide ourselves and the place where we go to exercise ourselves. I mean, you guys, you're Christian, right? and these were pretty high up guys in the church, and I'm saying, no, his name is Jesus. So even in the midst of those conversations, I just think it's important to have a confessional Lutheran presence in the room to push back against some of this noise, nonsense, and pop theology, as you call it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, things. You know, there was one woman that quoted as holding a large banner that read, "Angels walk with those who grieve."
Yeah, see?
Now that's good. Now that's real religious speak, isn't it? That sounds
that is.
So nice.
That is. You know what? I did not fully understand how meaningless religious speak is until my mom passed a couple of years ago. And I came to, and I understood then that there is actually nothing anyone can say in the midst of that kind of loss. And if it had not been for the Lord, see, I'd have been lost in despair. It is the promise that you know there's a reunion coming in glory. That's the thing that gives me hope. That Jesus is going to reunite us with him and with one another. That's the place of joy and peace, even in the midst of continued suffering and continued service in the world.
Well, you know, there's one other thing out there that's sort of really heating up, you know, sort of the blogosphere, and this comes, again, to disclose sources fairly for what they are. This comes from the Huffington Post, and we all know that they take sort of a strange bent on Orthodox theology. A fellow out there named Jerry Newcomb, who apparently runs an organization called Truth in Action, had put some things out there. He said, let's see, what did he say here? "I can't help but feel that to some extent we're reaping what we've been sowing as a society. We said to God, get out of the public arena. Lawsuit after lawsuit, often by misguided civil libertarians, have chased..." So he's done his sort of obligatory, you know, we've chased God out of the public square.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really find offensive at the Huffington Post is that he dared to say that not everyone who was killed in that theater is going to wind up in heaven. That there may be another consequence for those who are outside of Christ. And it's almost as if the context of how they died sets the tone for their salvation.
See, once again, a diamond thrown carelessly will do as much damage as a common stone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sure, it's true, but is that the time? Is that the way? to kind of talk about what it is that God desires for people, because that's ultimately the statement. God desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, and some have not. And so you really want to check and see how you're faring with the one true God of creator of heaven and earth.
But if you go to Ezekiel, 32 or 33, isn't this guy just being a good watchman? Isn't he just warning people like he's supposed to?
Well, sure, but you know, there's a way. I just think there's a way. Part of what and we find this in various books, Unchristian, and various other works, that what the church has done very often in its careless use of law and gospel is either one, offended folks and said, well, if that's the kind of God you serve, that's sending folks to hell willy-nilly, I don't want anything with that, or we've been so lackadaisical in the proclamation of the gospel that everybody's in and it's all good. And so Walther's balance of law and gospel is just critically important, and its appropriate use at appropriate times.
There's another story from the Washington Post, from the former president of Chicago Theological Seminary, someone by the name of Susan Thistlewaite. I don't know if you know that name or not.
Oh, wow.
She now runs something called the Center for American Progress. Not quite sure what that group is about. She sees that there's a seeming contradiction, that there's a spiritual crisis afoot here, that somehow the politics of gun control will not change until we are... So now here you have somebody who was formerly the head of a seminary who says this is all about gun control and finds a theological basis for it because, but if we must trust God so much, why do we need all these guns? And I thought, now there's a stretch for you also, that this is, you know... I mean, with all these voices out there, Dr. Belton, can you know, there was a gal back in, the 90s who had this sort of exercise thing that she was hawking on late-night TV.
Mm-hmm.
And her shtick was, you know, her head was kind of shaved and dyed silver, and, you know, she'd get on there, she'd talk about all the stupid ideas about how to be healthy and have weight loss and all this, and then she would look into the camera and she would scream, "Just stop the madness!"
Yeah.
Well, as I read these things, I want to scream the same thing into the microphone.
Well, I'm about with you. I'm about there with you.
And these are trained theologians that are saying nonsense like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, just stop. You know, there is for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. I mean, that's just, you can't get any clearer than that. You can't get any better than that. That word needs no additional adornment from us. You know, that we want to adorn God with our own little trinkets and our own little garland and our own little decorations. And the word of God, God himself even, needs no additional adornment from us. And so that's the frustrating thing. We get God so loaded up. We clothe him in so much of our own bias, our own doctrines, preferences, and traditions that it obscures the character of God and who he is and who he is for us.
Well, this is an angry God who just wants to turn us into grease stains on the highway.
Right, and give us more guns so that we can kill one another if that's what we want,
yeah,
with impunity.
You know, and the whole idea here also, so many of these comments, Dr. Belton, and we're very short on time, they focus on the dead rather than the living.
Yes. In Christ, we wait for the resurrection of the dead. We hope in the resurrection of the dead. And that gives us hope and joy even in the midst of an aurora.
We do not grieve as those without hope.
Amen.
The Reverend Dr. Victor Belton, Pastor Belton, serves at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Stay cool, my friend.
Always fun. God bless.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, that's it for today. We're back tomorrow. More of 1 Corinthians and more Ask the Pastor. Coming up next, Moments of Assurance with Pastor Mark Hawkinson. Stick around.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Thank you for listening to KFUO Radio. You listen to us, and we want to hear from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839. Maybe you have a comment about our programming.
I very much appreciate your ministry. You just really have a feel for the audience. I just want to compliment, thank you, and let you know I thank God for you.
Call the comment line at 314-505-7839 and let us know about something you like or maybe didn't like on KFUO.
I hope you don't have any more of this Mooney Crooney Ben at the Moon Contemporary Worship.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand podcasts and you can't call in. So call the comment line at 314-505-7839. Leave a comment for a program or a comment about KFUO in general.
I just really appreciate your program. Blessings to you and yours.
The KFUO comment line.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. The Colorado shooting suspect has appeared in court with his hair dyed an orange-red color. James Holmes didn't appear to say anything throughout the proceedings. This morning, the judge read him his rights.
You have a right to remain silent. If you make any statements, they can be used against you. You have a right to be represented by an attorney.
Holmes sat motionless. His eyes appeared to be tired and drooping. Criminal defense attorney Michael Steinberg, who practices in Colorado but is not involved in this case, talked to us just moments ago about Holmes' court appearance.
Well, he lawyered up, which I thought was interesting. Again, demonstrating a level of intelligence that's unusual. He made no statements of any kind, during his interview process, which I'm sure took place over the week, the end of last week and this weekend. So they have nothing from him.
Steinberg says the only defense he can foresee at this point is a mental illness defense. Holmes will be charged formally on Monday. Now to our other big story. The NCAA has stopped just short of shutting down Penn State's football program, leveling severe sanctions for the child sex assault scandal.
It's a staggering blow for a program trying to recover from months of turmoil. $60 million in fines, 4 years of a postseason ban, and a sharp drop in scholarships, and a direct shot at Joe Paterno's legacy.
The NCAA vacates all wins of the Penn State football team from 1998 to 2011.
Costing Paterno his spot as Division I's all-time winningest coach. NCAA President Mark Emmert said the goal now is cultural change in Happy Valley. Penn State says it accepts the punishment and is ready to take a big step forward. I'm Sagar Meghani.
At least 106 people are dead after a series of bombings and shootings across Iraq today. This is AP Radio News.